understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd, it's a Thursday, but it's a Friday because we're not here tomorrow. Rick Church giving the people what they want.
I feel like I need a shower.
You dirty boy.
All right, silence, everybody. Turn it up. Turn it up.
Another 10,000 for that name.
Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN.
This. Craig loves
it. Not only is this the kickoff of the weekend, this is a 10-day weekend for me. I'm on vacation next week. It's all good. It's a party in the USA. It's a party in Southwest Florida. Although you can't go to bars or beaches, so you know I don't know what kind of party it is. No fireworks on the 4th of July half of the places. Going to make the best of it out there.
By the way, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, was he there when you were there?
Yes.
He just issued an executive order requiring all Texans to wear face coverings in public in counties with 20 or more positive coronavirus cases.
Well, that's all
so
of them.
So imagine be the whole state. Yeah.
That's the whole state. Well, yep. I got a brand new mask. I upgraded. I have it right here. I'm not wearing it now because I'm talking on the radio. But I'm prepared. I'm ready to go. Rick Horrell
later
will be
on
the
after
show.
Rick, I got a great list for you, a college football list I just came about.
I just saw, you know, you just randomly last hour did a little quick Barbara Wawa impression. Did you see that Hugh Downs just passed away today? 99 years old.
Yeah. Yep.
2020. Among other things. I believe he and, Hugh Downs, been around for a while. You know, he had a hand in the Jack Parr Tonight Show. He was his Ed McMahon announcer at the beginning.
Yes, I remember.
Well, I don't remember. It was a little before my time.
No, I remember that he did it. I didn't remember Jack Parr was, yeah.
Oh, that's all good. All right. But, what were you going to say?
No, I said, I think the biggest story of the day so far, and there are a couple other ones. Afterwards, remind me about the list and Larry Scott, commissioner of the Pac-12, with some interesting comments today as well. But the big story is the NBA closing in on signing off on a second bubble in Chicago for the 8 teams that weren't invited to play in Florida.
I'm still trying to figure out the reason.
It enables them to participate in a mini training camp and subsequent games against other clubs with a target date of September. Details still being hammered out, and teams continue to push for an alternative plan that would enable them to hold mini camps within their local markets and to explore the idea of establishing regional sites where teams could scrimmage against each other.
All right. Well, we'll ask Rick Horrell about that. He's with us right now, our sports business guru. Rick, who has been doing his best to spread COVID-19 around the globe, traveling each and every week. Rick, where are you now?
I'm at a pool party in Orlando with 1,000 of my closest friends. I am not. I am definitely not. That's in ill taste. Nobody should be doing that.
No.
I actually just got home in my hermetically sealed car.
Oh,
your dog is upset.
Came up to me that wanted to talk to me. I would spray them with alcohol after I sprayed myself. And I was at Harvard for a few days. I was at top of Mount Washington for a few days, and I feel extremely safe.
Now, your dogs that are barking, are they like guard dog Dobermans at the gate that run and bite people and protect you, or are they friendly little dogs, or what are we hearing in the background?
It's a Catahoula, which is the state dog of Louisiana. It looks like a leopard, cross Doberman, cross Greyhound.
Oh.
Smarter than me, quicker than me, better looking than me, much better, smarter, quicker than you guys.
Wow. I never heard of a Catahoula. I'm going to have to look this up right now.
A Catahoula, there are only 300 of them in the country. It's on kind of an extinct dog list I had decided to rescue.
Really?
And it was January, and I was in for the national championship, New Orleans. And I said and I was down to a ugly-looking mutt terrier from South Carolina or this dog. And if Clemson won, I would be stuck with the ugly mutt terrier. And if LSU won, this is a beautiful dog. Thank God for Ed Ogeron.
What's his name or her name?
Duke.
What's it?
Duke. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's right. Duke. Oh, yes. Oh, that's Duke. Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Come
yes.
Come on, man. It was.
I know. We love Duke. I know.
He was named Kobe, K-O-B-I, who knows why.
Yeah.
And I said, come on, I'm not going to name this dog Kobe with misspelling. And Duke is wonderful. Duke is great.
Nice.
He, you know, I was going to call him Krzyzewski as his middle name, but none of us can pronounce that, including Duke.
If I yelled out Kobe right now, though, would the dog be confused in answer to that name? How long did it take to transition to the new name, Duke?
A piece of steak.
Oh, okay.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. Just real quick, when Krzyzewski gets called to the stand in a little bit, do you think in the Zion Williamson case, would you treat him as a hostile witness?
Yeah. Well, but he wrote my foreword in my book, so I can't.
I know.
I can't do that. I know. I make love, not war.
All right, a story that's kind of breaking right now that Pete just brought up. I don't want to steal his thunder. The NBA has contingency plans for a backup bubble in Chicago that they may put the other eight teams in to allow them to practice and play games. What's your reaction when you hear this? What's the real reason they would do that? I thought like the Golden State Warriors have already mailed it in, turned in their uniforms, and said, see you next year.
Yeah, well, a lot of teams felt like they should do that, but they really need to keep the fan interest going. And so this is one of those on the fly. And when you think about it, it's a deal where they're really going to try to figure out how to service the existing bubble, then have a co-bubble. Look, baseball is going to have 32 bubbles, and nobody knows what the issue is going to be. So I'm looking for the NBA and the NHL and everybody to stick with their plan, but have a plan B at a moment's notice. I mean, look at the NHL. You know, last week we were talking about Vegas. Now we're talking about Edmonton and Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it, you know, certainly it's a...
By the way,
Edmonton to Toronto, it's great for...
That's not me playing with a squeezy toy. That's Duke.
Oh.
You know. I don't know if you heard it.
Is it possible, though, Rick? And I was saying this before the show. Before I was picturing you with a big squeezy toy in your mouth. But the,
yeah, no, don't even think about it, man. Don't even think about it. Okay,
it's disturbing.
Look, we're gonna be off the air real quick. Okay?
Hindsight's always 20/20, and we could what I'm about to say we could say about anything. But I think if Adam Silver knew what he knows now back then, if he knew it was going to be get this bad in Florida, would he have continued to have the bubble at Disney World? And do you think this may be on the outside? Is it possible that this could be a contingency plan? God forbid things don't work out in Orlando the next couple of months.
Yeah, and frankly, if I'm a CEO. I have five contingency plans, and it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of flexibility. And who'd have thought that our state would be in this situation? I actually was checked. I didn't even think this was possible. Yesterday, I was driving down from Georgia and started in North Carolina for 9 hours yesterday in my back way home. And I was actually stopped at I-95 at the border up there north of Jacksonville. And they were saying, what are you doing? You're coming home. You're going to quarantine? Yes, going to quarantine. I am going to quarantine. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But, it's a pretty drastic measure. And, who'd have known that it would have been Florida. And now the governor of Texas is talking about face masks. A week ago, he was saying that he would be the state that hosted the Astros and the Rangers to have crowds in their stadiums, the only two of the 32 teams to do it. Well, that ain't happening now.
No.
So we've got to be nimble.
Speaking of nimble, we knew the NFL built some flexibility into its schedule and maybe flipping September to January, et cetera, et cetera. So if you were to read in between the lines, yesterday their announcement, they were going to cut the preseason in half. They say, and the people are saying that it's so to give players more time to practice because they haven't had OTAs and all that. I wonder if it's more like this could be the first crack in the foundation that maybe we may not start the real season on time. How do you look at the NFL's announcement yesterday to cut the preseason in half?
I think they're peeling away weeks at a time, and I don't see any problem with that either.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, the players are in touch with the owners to make sure that camp has a seamless start because you'd rather delay the start than have it start and then stop a couple weeks later and then start again.
Mm-hmm.
And if the net result is only having two preseason games as opposed to four, well, we all would have won, to be honest about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The governor of South Carolina earlier today has said there is a strong possibility that they may not have football of any kind, college or high school. It's a strong possibility. And just, Rick, again, just knowing how this affects so many people, but just for a big-time college football, you know, Clemson and South Carolina, with the possibility of them not being able legally to play football this year under the governor's orders, I mean, how devastating could that be? I guess life goes on in each conference if they can't do it, right?
Well, you know, listen, the governor's orders are not fleeting, but governors have made decisions before, and I think most governors will now wait until the last minute. That would be a very unpopular decision. That doesn't mean he shouldn't make it if the health advisors tell him to do it. But if I'm the governor of South McMaster, if I'm the governor of South Carolina, or frankly any state, I wait to see how we're doing over the next 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, and I don't make any premature decisions right now. I was just listening to the BBC passing the time yesterday, and they were talking about the Premier League, very instructional, and they were talking about the various decisions that were made. And, you know, the French top league decided in March that they were canceling, not coming back, and then at the end of the day, they had no idea about how crowdless stadiums could work very well. And now the Premier League ratings are some of the best in the world because the English are doing it, the Germans are doing it, the Spanish are doing it, the Italians are doing it, and the French said that's the worst decision they ever made because they didn't have to make that decision in March. So I think the same thing holds.
Well, and it's just speaking of French real quick, just a blurb just came across a minute ago on ESPN that the French Open, scheduled for late September, I believe, is going to allow 60% capacity fan attendance.
Yeah. Listen, again, it's the decision of how quickly do you make these decisions? And then remember I put in my report that the Indy 500 with 170,000 fans, Roger Penske, who bought the track and the races, said no fans, no race. But we got to make that decision, he said, in the next 2 or 3 weeks because it's important to the fans who are buying tickets and it's important to the drivers. But then the French Open isn't until a month, 6 weeks after that. So everybody is trying to make some decisions about things to make plans easier. They all have the same issues, and some are making them earlier than others. Some would say too early.
Rick Horrows with us, Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. When I first heard many months ago about the possibility of a spring college football season to buy time for coronavirus, I rejected it out of hand right away. I thought it was silly and ridiculous. As we get further and further into the calendar, maybe not. And then you're my Ivy League guy. The Ivy League's going to make a vote on Wednesday, maybe to just play 7 conference games later in the season or the calendar, or just move it all into the spring. So we're going to know how the Ivy League schools feel about this pretty quickly. What do you think about that and college football as a whole as we reignite the spring football discussion?
Well, I know Robin Harris well. She is the executive director of the Ivy League Athletic Council, which is really the presidents of the schools and the athletic directors who have less of a vote. And this is more of a students on campus decision. They do have a TV contract, but as you know, the Ivy League isn't driven by money as much as the SEC or some of the Power Fives are. And I've heard a lot of that discussion. Remember, she was the pioneer of canceling the conference championships in basketball on March 11th. I know that because I was driving to Boston day it happened, and everybody said, my God, how is that possible? Well, the next day, everything fell apart, and she was the first one to do it. So, you know, a trendsetter, and I wouldn't be surprised next Wednesday if that's what happens. I don't have any inside information yet, but, again, to maximize flexibility.
But at least with the Ivy League, Rick, as you know, I mean, everybody can bus. I mean, the longest drive, I believe, is Penn to Dartmouth in New Hampshire, which I believe is about 6 hours. Everything else is less than that. So at least from that vantage point, at least it's doable. But the other Power Five conferences, not so much.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And you know, the idea of playing 7 and maybe cutting it back and maybe doing some neutral site games. You know, Maine is shut down. I was up there, and they're really kind of over the top on it. Massachusetts is a little nervous about things, and you know, all of the states again have to worry about their political issues second and their health issues first.
Bringing it full circle back to Duke and basketball, the more talk now, maybe we don't start basketball until January and make it conference only. I've only heard rumblings of that as of yesterday. Have you heard anything like that? And does that make sense to you?
Well, it makes sense if that's the best way to salvage the season. If that's the only way to do it, because let's remember there are a lot of schools that are deciding now to start in August earlier than possible. And then going home before Thanksgiving because everybody's worried about, quote-unquote, the second wave, which is now a first wave, so that's the third wave. I mean, who knows what it means now. But everybody is thinking about the advantages of leaving early, vacating campuses mid-November, and not coming back till after January. If that's the case, then it may make sense to start it in January. That'll give more people around the country an opportunity to spell Coach K's name correctly.
Yeah, right. All right. What are you doing for the 4th of July, if anything, since there are no fireworks or anything like that anywhere?
Duke and I are going to, we've already discussed it, we're going to split our programming. I'm going to watch English Premier League and Rocket Mortgage, see if Ricky can blow another tournament. Duke gets the Westminster Dog Show, and then we're both going to share a steak.
Sounds good.
Nice.
All right,
excellent.
Man. Have a safe weekend. I'm on vacation next week, but you'll talk to Pete next week.
Yes,
thank you
I'm
very
not.
Much. All right. Very good.
Thank God. Hey, Pete. Congratulations.
Yes.
Tell Wally Pip if he steps away, he may not come back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I will.
Good reference. Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, Rick Horror, our sports business guru. Yeah, a lot to talk
about.
No,
we come back. Some real interesting stuff coming out from Larry Scott moments ago, Pac-12 commissioner. I think it's going to affect a lot of the Power Fives as they have that. The Power Five commissioners meet every week, and some real interesting stuff coming out last couple of minutes here.
Spirit of St. Louis texting in. As I said yesterday, Craig, we're repeating the month of February. Once the Ivy League calls it, the other conferences will follow shortly, just like February. Maybe.
It might be. Like I said, the only advantage the Ivy Leagues have if they is they can bust. The longest trip, I believe, is Penn to Dartmouth, which is about 6 hours. Everything else is, you know, even shorter than that. But Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott said a little while ago that the conference is prepared to pivot quickly to alternate football scenarios in the event of a 12-game regular season cannot start on time because of the coronavirus surge.
All right, we'll talk about that. We'll take your phone calls at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. It's the final push. We're off tomorrow because of the holiday weekend, and then I'm on vacay, so it's like a 10-day weekend for me. Pete will be here Monday. None of us will be here tomorrow. Chris may be out a little while longer. Rick will be here, but I'm not sure exactly how. Rick's moving. Everything's up in the air.
We should probably even hold it right now on Pete will be here Monday. That's kind of still a wait and see situation, but you know.
I'll be broadcasting.
Okay. Well,
Monday,
right now
we don't have anybody to run the show unless Adam Starr's going to do it.
That could be. I like that idea.
I am home for the next 2 weeks. I've been ordered to be home for the next 2 weeks, not because I've tested positive for anything, but on the side, erring on the side of caution.
So,
possibly Chris may be.
Chris may be in the same boat, and I am healthy as an ox, but I'm going on vacation to get the hell away from here, and I probably will self-quarantine in a staycation of some sort. Before we go any further, I want to bring Sean on, because we asked earlier about those kids in Tuscaloosa who were having corona parties, trying to see if they could get or not, and we asked for youngsters out there, like if you meet like a hot chick at a bar, in the day of corona, are you going to be so quick to, you know, like make out? Sean, what's your opinion on this topic? I want to hear, because you're a young guy.
Well, happy Thursday/Friday, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Honestly, no, probably at first it would be, you know, just not doing anything because, you know, you're worried that you're going to get it. Like my dad's, you know, he's 50 years old, he's about 52 years old now, so I'd be worried about giving it to him and my grandparents. But then eventually, you know, we're going to get over it because when I told you I took my dad to SeaWorld, I was looking at his Facebook post that he posted for Father's Day. And he said, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't have to live in fear. And at some point, we're gonna get over it. At first, you know, I'd be a little cautious. But, you know, if I feel like I'm not too worried about it and that either I can fend it off and my family can do it, then I'm not going to be too worried about it. But it all comes down to if it happens when it, you know, when it first starts or if we're talking about now, you know, we're a few months into it. And some people have built up immunity to it either by, you know, getting it or...
Sean, hang on, let me jump in. Let me jump in here, please, Sean. You're like a politician, man. You are great at dancing around the question. Scenario, answer this question. Whatever joint you like hanging out at, I don't know what it is, or you're only, I don't know if you're not 21 yet, right? Or you are 21.
No, I am 21.
He's right there.
Okay, so you're at your favorite sports bar, and some hot chick comes up to you and thinks you are the greatest thing since sliced bread, and it's all over you. You're not going to kiss her? Okay.
Now, are we talking about during the first time during the coronavirus, or where we're at the stage we're at now?
Tomorrow.
Right now.
Tomorrow.
Right now, after you hang up, a hot babe comes up
tonight.
To you.
Tonight. You're at a great sport. Wherever you're at a place, you're watching whatever you're watching, you have a night, and this hot girl comes up to you and just thinks you're the bee's knees, and you feel the spark. Are you kissing her at some point in the night?
Probably. I'll take the chance at some point.
Wow. Now, I'm more concerned.
You can't live in fear forever. You can't live in fear forever.
And you're not going to say in the heat of the moment when it's just about to happen, I'm talking about just making out with it, going, Tanya, whatever we want. Her name's Tanya for all intents and purposes. By chance, before we swap spit here, you didn't test positive for coronavirus, did you? I mean, that's just not going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen. At that point, you just end up killing the moment. You just have to be staring at each other like, well, what next?
So the answer is yes, is what you're telling me. That's all I
know. That'd be my answer.
I have another question that I'm very concerned about with your answer from earlier, and I ask it on the behalf of Pete Shepard. You said your dad is 52, and you're really concerned about. Do you lump 52-year-olds into like the older crowd?
Craig's 52, and I'm 53.
Like I told you guys, Tuesday was that, you know, my father started not feeling so well because, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't know why, and the last time I talked to you guys was that about a week ago, they told me that I was exposed to somebody with the virus. So, you know, I know my dad can fight it off because my grandmother in Jersey, she was in her mid-80s, and she has the mild type of the coronavirus, and she fought it off without any problems. So I'm very well confident my dad can do it. It's just that point, like, you know, my dad just told me recently, you know, now he's starting to break a fever a little bit, so, you know, he went to go get tested.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, I want to make sure that I wasn't the cause for my dad, because then, you know, something does happen, I'm going to feel bad, but I know my dad can fight it off. I've lived with him long enough. He's gotten sick a lot of times, and it's, you know, he's had severe bronchitis before. It's not something I'm not too worried about, because I trust him, you know.
Now I've heard you say, like, you've seen tests at Hammond Park take up to 4 hours. I had somebody today tell me it was like an hour. People are getting results back in a couple of days. Other people are still waiting for like 12 days. What are you hearing out there? I mean, it seems like it's different depending on where you go.
Well, yeah, it took me like 4 hours for my test.
Wow.
And it was just ridiculous. I regret it was not worth the 4 hours. Nor is it worth how much I get paid.
Wow.
But, you know, my dad told me today that it took him less than 5 minutes to get through. He went about the same time I do, which is about 9:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And it only took him less than 5 minutes. So, I guess it varies on day-to-day basis or whatnot, but I still haven't got my test results back. I actually had to call the medical labs and everything to find out, like, hey, did you get my results? And they actually told me that, oh, well, we can't find it.
Oh, geez.
So now you have my dad.
Can't find it.
How many days ago was that you took it?
A week ago. It was Wednesday.
They can't find it.
Yeah, I've heard people it takes up to 12 days to get it back.
But you're never going to find it if you can't find it.
they're talking to this, they're going to talk to the supervisor and everything, because now you got a point to, like I said, you know, my dad's not feeling well. I'm, you know, I don't want to be that person that gave him the virus, because he runs a hotel. You know, he really can't afford to get sick because he owns the hotel. Yeah. He runs the one of the hotels, brand new hotels that open up in Naples.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, you know, I still have three other people in my family that work in grocery stores, too. So you're talking about if he ends up getting it and I was asymptomatic to it, that causes a big problem, because that means all of us have to stay home.
Yeah.
We can't go to work, and, you know, it's just a whole bunch of trouble.
Well, I'm praying you and your dad are all negative and everything is good, man. And I want you all to have a nice, safe 4th of July weekend, man. I appreciate you calling in, as always.
I'll miss you next week, Craig. I'll make sure to call, but I'm going to miss you next week.
All right, thanks, Sean. I'll miss you, too. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks then. I appreciate it, man.
I'll see you.
All right, see you later.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Interesting. So there's a few things going on here, Craig, actually, last few minutes here. Again, Pac-12 is considering football in the spring. Well, first of all, let me tell you this, this is there's so many things that have been going on here. Mike Popovich, who covers college football, mostly Division II and III out in Ohio, I believe, conference-only schedule for all teams in the Ohio Athletic Conference, which is Division III. Alex Martin also retweeted that. He's going to be on with me next week, by the way, talking a little bit of the top high school players next Monday. But here it is. Conference-only schedule for all teams in the Ohio Athletic Conference, which is Division III. Now, I believe, Craig, I'm really convinced more and more that we are only going to have a conference-only schedule in the Power Fives. Larry Scott said today he's still hopeful that football season can start as usual, but that recent rises in positive tests might make that impossible.
Yeah.
He says, quote, "I was cautiously optimistic, but the last couple of weeks have changed everyone's outlook because of the extent in which restarting the economy and loosening restrictions has led to significant outbreaks. I still want to be cautiously optimistic, but if there's no change in society's response and behavior, which results in quick flattening of the curve and a decrease in the spread of the virus, that would lead to a much more pessimistic view about our campuses being able to open and our ability to play college sports." He said he speaks regularly with the commissioners of the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, and ACC. Power Five college football conferences are hoping they can come up with one unified plan. That plan could mean playing the season as scheduled, could also mean a delayed start. Schedules that only include conference games, some schools playing their seasons, but other schools canceling, or moving the whole college football season to the spring. So there's a lot going on here, as I said. And, you know, Rick Carr just brought up the Ivy League, and you brought it up too.
Yeah.
The Ivy League's got a little bit of advantage because they can bus everywhere. However, if the Ivy League, which is FCS, again, FCS, cancels.
Yeah.
That'll be the, it won't be one team. That would be one conference. And they're not Division II or III. They're higher than that. They're FCS.
Right.
Once that happens, I think a lot of, if that happens, a lot of other conferences are going to follow suit.
I think they may. I don't think we'll hear about it till maybe August 1st. I think because the importance of the money, they're going to wait to the last minute. I've deemed that the NFL needs about 6 weeks to whether cancel preseason or to eventually cancel September games. I don't think we'll have anything imminent, but it does feel like the momentum is going that way for an altered college football season, either shorter, conference only, or in the spring. And I would not have said that 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago. I don't think they'll make the decision in July, though. I think they'll push that decision even yet another month into August.
And again, I'll just take example, my Miami Hurricanes. So their first conference game, the first three games are home, Temple, Wagner, and UAB, and then they're at Michigan State. Let's just say that doesn't happen. See, it's conference only. Then their first game would be at home against Pittsburgh. Now, whether they move that up to September 5th instead of October 3rd is a different story. But that would be it. They'd have all conference. That'd be their. They'd just play conference games the rest of the way.
Yeah. As of today, if I had to make a decision today on what I thought was going to happen, yeah, I think we're conference only at this point.
Now, and that doesn't take into account if things don't get better in the state of Florida.
Right.
Because then it opens up a whole new other can of worms about who can come and play here or who might be able not to go to play in Texas.
That includes the NBA bubble, by the way.
Yes, I agree.
But how many days can we go 10,000 positive tests a day? I mean, at some point, we got to start backing it down. I don't know when.
Yep.
Either that or at this rate, we're all going to be immune to it in about 3 months. Because we're all going to
have it. Schedule. Yeah, you look at Florida's schedule. They open at home against Eastern Washington, and then they're home against Kentucky. So they have an early game at home in the Swamp against Kentucky. Then they're home against San Antonio, blowout. Then they so if they don't play Eastern Washington, maybe Kentucky would be their first game. Blow out the San Antonio game, that wouldn't happen. Then they'd be at Tennessee, home against South Carolina, home against LSU, home against Mississippi, and the rest of it is all. All they do have the second. Of course, they have Florida State, mm-hmm. which that may not happen.
Yeah,
that's the last game that may not happen. And they do have mixed in there the New Mexico State Aggies as a little late season cream puff game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, it's all up in the air, boys and girls. It's all up in the air.
And our friend Keith Smith, who covers the NBA, said this in a tweet, I think it's interesting. I know players from the Delete 8 group who really want to play. I can understand that they don't want to miss out on valuable actual reps. That said, a second non-bubble bubble is a really bad idea. No way any pending free agent should even remotely consider playing in this. If you're just joining us, Jackie McMullen of ESPN is reporting that Chicago is going to be, looks like it's going to be a second bubble for the eight teams that did not make it to Florida.
This is the loser bubble.
Yeah, the loser bubble. But as you know, as Keith points out, why would any free agent go there and risk injury playing?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Some don't. You know, some don't want to miss out on valuable reps, and I understand that. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Another thing.
Uh-huh.
NFL, Adam Schefter, a few minutes ago, in an effort to combat the virus, NFL teams likely to bring fewer than the regular 90 players they ordinarily bring to training camp. One source is predicting 80 per team, another 75, but no one is expecting 90.
Well, you know, you pointed out earlier in the week, I mean, really, camp is down to five guys making the teams. The rest are just camp bodies. They don't need them. They can streamline the process, probably.
Yep.
Dumpster Fire texting, Craig, enjoy the vacation. You earned it. Thanks for what you do, especially in these crazy times. Feel free to splurge on vacation and crack open a second Coors Light. I think maybe I will have to. Let's squeeze in a phone call. Art, the Bills fan. Welcome. How are you, Art?
All right. What's
I'm
up,
doing
Art?
Craig, guys. What's going on?
Not too much.
Hey, are you open on 4th of July?
Yeah, the market is, and we got some catering going on. I'm celebrating my 28th anniversary, July the 5th, though.
Congratulations.
All right. Hey, congratulations, thanks. Yeah.
So the wife and I are taking a little time off and going to Fort Myers Beach. Nothing major. You know, we're going to stay safe and all that and everything.
Good, nice. Have a good time. Might see me down there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. At some point.
Okay, so it sounds like you guys might have a situation next week with the need for help. I can do the talk. I don't know anything about college sports.
We just need somebody who can run a board.
Oh, my buddy, my best friend, he's not like the guy on, the Matt Damon movie, Robin Williams. He's not like that guy. He's like the guy who
Like Good Will Hunting?
How to be a surgeon, an airplane pilot. He's wicked smart. He could run the booth. Yeah. He worked in radio, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, it looks like Chris is just going to be out for a couple of weeks to make sure Pete is going to be away for a couple of weeks. But he's got equipment. Pete can do the show home.
But you guys are okay, right?
We're okay.
We think everybody's fine.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I don't know about Chris. So far I'm okay. I wasn't feeling well yesterday, but. I feel great today, but we're not risking it for another couple of weeks.
All right. Yeah. Chris is doing okay, too. Yeah, I didn't catch all of it. I just got off of work.
But, yeah.
Okay. I know a lot about food and stuff, and I can turn Buffalo Bills I could talk about all day, but other than that, I'm useless.
You can do Hell's Kitchen on ESPN Radio or something like that.
There you go.
Yeah, it'd be great. I might be calling you for a catering. How far in advance? Because I'm serious. If we have a mini little few of us, like six of us, might get together on 4th of July, and I want to introduce my friends to those pastrami ribs.
Well, those pastrami ribs take time to dry out, and can't whip those up.
Fourth of July, that's tight notice. But,
you don't have any ready to go. Okay, yeah. So that's a special. Okay, that's fine.
Probably not.
Okay. No worries. Yeah, I didn't know if you had some.
You got my number and let me know. I'll hook you up. I'll take care of you.
Oh no, I'll pay. I want to pay for it, obviously. But
you're gonna pay, but not like you're calling. You know.
Oh.
Wolfgang Puck or nothing like that. Oh, yeah. You can get all right. the friends and family discount.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
All right.
All right, guys.
All right. Have a good one. Right. Happy anniversary. Thank you, man.
Happy anniversary.
Hey, thank you very
Peach
much.
Kryptonite God says, bless. Guys, I can tell you. Thanks. Peach Kryptonite says, guys, I can tell you right now, I got my dream job as a college cross-country coach at a college in Orlando, and my AD already told me no traveling outside of Florida except for championship races when I started making my schedule.
Mm. All right.
I think this is going to be much more serious. And well, it's already serious, obviously, we know, but I think people better really, really relax their expectations about sports in general here. There's too much bleep going on right now.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't feel good about it.
All right, let's wind it down. We got what you got. That's coming up next. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd getting you into your 3-day weekend, hopefully, at least for us too. On 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's what you got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
What you got brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. Go ahead and get yourself some food there this weekend. Barbecue ribs, wings, burgers, 29-degree beer, eats, drinks, and scenic views. I saw this sign. I'm presuming it's in a restaurant in Ohio. It's hilarious. It says, due to COVID-19, we are asking people to stay 6 feet apart. If you are unsure how far that is, imagine a Cleveland Browns wide receiver. Now imagine where Baker Mayfield throws the ball. That's 6 feet. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. Let's see. On this day in history, 2002, Steve Fawcett, the first solo trip around the world in a hot air balloon. 2001, the first self-contained artificial heart transplant. How about that? Go back to 1937, Amelia Earhart. And her navigator, Fred Noonan, was the last we heard of them on the radio before they disappeared. And in 1843, this is my favorite. I can see this happening over by you at Bonita. 1843, an alligator falls out of the sky in Charleston, South Carolina. People there believe a waterspout had picked it up during a storm and dropped it back down somewhere.
Speaking of something like that, I just tweeted out an unbelievable, awesome video. It looks like a giant eagle out of Lord of the Rings, except it's real. I'm not sure what state it's in or really what country it's in, but it grabbed a shark out of the water and is flying through the air with it. It is unbelievable video.
That's going so, I've seen that about five times. It is viral, man. It is an awesome video. If you retweeted it out, that's great.
I did.
People will enjoy that video. Happy birthday, as we said earlier, to Richard Petty. Jose Canseco, how about that? Born in Havana. Lindsay Lohan, born in 1986. We lost Ernest Hemingway and Nostradamus on this day. And I think that will wrap it up for me.
You been to the Hemingway house on the Keys?
Yes, I have. And as a matter of fact, I just ran out of some Pilar rum that they sell there on the island.
Yes,
I have been. That's what I had last night. I have been there. It's a fascinating little place.
Cats are still there.
Six-toed cats. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
They are.
All right, what you got?
EA Sports announcing they are actively working on bolstering plans to support franchise mode in Madden 21 and beyond. EA Sports faced heavy criticism from fans asking for an improved version of franchise mode. At one point, hashtag FixMaddenFranchise was trending on Twitter.
Hmm.
So, outraged, yeah. Because a lot of people just like to build their own teams from start to finish.
Right.
Guess it was some glitches. Not good.
No, that's not good. All right. Rick Church, you get the final word. By the way, thank you.
Thank you,
so
Rick
much
Church.
For coming
in
on short notice. Appreciate it.
You are the best.
My pleasure.
Good luck with the move.
Thank you.
And whenever I see you again, I'll see you again.
So I guess because you're on vacation, you don't want to come and help? Is that...
Well,
so one sporting event will be taking place not per usual, but a little differently this weekend. And that, of course, is the annual 4th of July Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Yes. What they've done is moved it from outside on the boardwalk into a private indoor location.
Yes.
Joey Chestnut's won this competition every year except one since 2007. In 2018, he set a record eating 72 hot dogs. And he says he thinks he's got a chance this year for two reasons. First of all, they've cut the competition in half. He says less hot dogs, probably going to taste better.
Yeah.
And he also said, I'll be indoors in air conditioning rather than sweat running down my face outside. So he's going for the world record.
He said take the over last week.
Take the over, right?
I think it's 72,
73? Yeah.
Yeah, he said I'm going to get at least 75. He said take the over.
There you go.
That's right. That's a good one.
That's awesome.
All right, so that'll be...
That takes the whole charm out of the thing, an air-conditioned gym or whatever.
It really does.
Yeah. It's charming if I win Skittles on it, if I take the over.
That's fine. That's all you're about now.
That's all I'm about.
Totally come over. You are now Craig Palpatine, Emperor Palpatine.
Yep. I am over on the dark side. All right, everybody. We're all off tomorrow. I'm on vacation next week. Pete is here. Rick will be here some form or capacity. We don't know about Chris. But we'll figure it out. But next week could be interesting.
Somebody producing the show, please call me around 8 o'clock in the morning on Monday so we can go through an itinerary, but that's okay.
Yes. For Rick and Chris and for Pete Shepard.
Happy 4th.
I'm Craig Sheeman. Kudos to me, everybody. Have a happy and safe 4th of July, Southwest Florida. Have a good night. God bless America and the world.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.